studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, we thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace. We're continuing this week in a study of Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. You'll remember a few weeks back, we have been taking up Philippians and working through different passages. I've been preaching through Philippians verse by verse at the Linden URC and really enjoyed this study and just the rich doctrinal truths and the wonderful perspective of a life of Christian joy and peace that the Apostle Paul presents to us here in the book of Philippians. And today, in this week, we're going to take up verses 8 and 9 where we read, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, as we open up this study this week, I begin this morning with you on Abounding Grace by saying I'm persuaded that one of the things that will change our whole outlook of Christianity, the gospel, our approach to the church, preaching, is really to understand very clearly the purpose for which God has ordained all of this. I was very moved by reading something that a pastor in the 19th century, Philip Brooks, once said about preaching. He asked, "What is preaching for?" The answer, he says, comes without hesitation. It is for men's salvation. But he says the idea of what salvation is has never entirely been uniform or certain. If to be saved was to be saved from sin, preaching became spiritual. If to be saved was to be saved from punishment, preaching became economical. If salvation was the elevation of society, preaching became a lecture upon social science. Brooks says the first thing you do is to see clearly what you are going to preach for, what you try to save men from. So what Brooks was saying was that everyone knows that preaching is about salvation. But depending upon what you think salvation is, will define and determine the heart of your preaching. So, if I think as a minister that salvation is merely about making society a better place, well then I will have sermons directed at cleaning up the environment and sermons about doing things for the disenfranchised and so on. If I think preaching is about making you a better person, live a better moral person, well, then by nature, my preaching will turn into motivational speaking, giving people principles to live better lives. But if I believe primarily preaching is about God's answer to sinners about the way that they can be saved from the wrath to come, well then, by necessity, the purpose of all preaching is to preach Jesus and His gospel, the only hope in this sad world for dying sinners. And what then follows that with a proper response to the fact that Jesus has given His life to save us from our sins. So it goes without saying that the purpose of preaching then must be to show Christ from all of Scripture. I remember hearing somebody once say about a man who was preaching that, hey, he preaches 95% salvation. His answer was, "I apologize. I've not done my job. Forgive me that I've not yet preached 100% of salvation." That is expressive, of course, of a common mindset set today that in us as Christians, we've sort of gotten past this gospel and now I just need life application. I just need to know the way to better live. Now, we do need that, don't we? Of course we need life application. But I really could have entitled the message this week that we're looking at in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, "The Great Divorce." Because sadly, what's happened in our day with this cry for application is because people have become mindless to doctrine, there has been this great divorce between the Christian gospel and Jesus Christ and what we call sanctification. A separation from the doctrines of grace and living. So the product has been a Christianity today that has been stripped of its core message of God's response to sinners in the gospel, and it's been reduced to a mere set of ethical principles. Living this life then has become divorced from the purpose and design of Christian preaching and ministry, the proclamation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As Paul said, "Woe is me if I do not preach Christ and Him crucified." And all of that has become divorced and instead been replaced with a set of morals to make us happy and better people. But the fact is, my friends, is that if you reduce Christianity, like is going on today, to a set of ethical principles and steps for living apart from the core purpose of Christian ministry, you don't have Christianity. You have ripped off its exclusive claims, and you've essentially put people back under the law. And sadly, this has become the approach today. Here are the 5 steps to this. Here are the 10 principles for a happy life. Here are the 7 ways to reach your potential. Here are these 40 days of purpose. Do them. And at this point, it's no longer Christianity. You've reduced it and made it a reductionistic thing just to ethics. I was painfully reminded of this in hearing a Buddhist call into Michael Savage's Savage Nation. Savage asked this Buddhist what he gained from his Buddhism, and the Buddhist responded, now listen to this, "I don't let circumstances determine my attitude." Does that sound familiar? Well, that's what Paul's been saying in the entire book of Philippians. And even better, he said this, "It's better to be contented with what you have rather than to win great riches." Now, is that not just what Paul's been saying throughout Philippians? In verse 11, Paul's going to say of chapter 4, "I have learned in every state that I am to be content." And he's been telling us the whole book to have a good attitude regardless of our circumstances, right? Thus, are the ethical principles of the Buddhist and of Paul the same? You see what I'm getting at. What's the difference? When Savage heard the Buddhist say this, he went on this long diatribe. "Look, this proves," said Savage, "all religions are the same in the world, and we can just take the best from each." See, this is a sad commentary today that Christianity has become reduced to ethical formulas of right living, abandoning exactly what God's original purpose of the Christian message should be, to proclaim God's only way to fallen sinners. Charles Spurgeon once recorded a discussion between a seminary student and his professor. The professor, after hearing this seminary student preach, said to him, "Wow, it was wonderful instruction. You gave us a lot of good principles for living. But the professor said, "But there was no Christ in it. There was no Jesus in your message." And the student paused and he said, "Yes, but Jesus wasn't in the text. He wasn't in the text I was preaching." And the old professor said, "Young man, from every town and village in England, you know there is a road to London." "Yes, yes," said the student. "So from every scripture text, there is a road to the center of the scriptures. And that is Jesus Christ. Your business when you come to a text like this is to say, what is the road to Jesus Christ? And then preach that sermon running along the road toward the great metropolis who is Jesus." And he went on, "I've never found a scripture text that does not have a road to Jesus Christ in it. And if there isn't one, I will make one, for he says the sermon," now listen to this, "the sermon cannot do any good unless Christ be in it." That is so true, my friends. You can't have application without Christ. Application divorced from Christ leaves one powerless and under the law. The only way we begin to live in such a way as the Bible describes and to have this life of peace and joy that is here described is when the drive for peace and joy flows from the gospel. And that's what my whole point is going to be with this text today. That's what Paul's saying here. We have to let the gospel drive us in our thinking. And so when Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely and of good report, if there's any virtue and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We have to be given to let the gospel of Jesus Christ control us, the truth of Christ and Him crucified, and that will transform our whole mindset so that we are constantly focused on that which really matters, and not just following ethical principles for right living, but that which really matters, letting the gospel drive us to right living, for then it is Christ-based and not man-based. So then the question today is, has the gospel changed your heart and your mind so as you are constantly reflecting on the person work of Christ and His great work has given you a perspective that nothing can separate you from His love? The most refreshing news and the most wonderful news ever given to mankind was that God in Christ is reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing to sinners their trespasses, but instead for those who believe in this Jesus, imputing to their accounts the very righteousness of Christ. Would you like to learn more about this gospel? Join us for worship this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. Give us a call, or you may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Worship services 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. Thanks for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.